Alright, so we're continuing on with the next mitzvah, the mitzvah of Shabbos. Now, with this class, I almost had the opposite problem than I had last week. Last week, I was debating, do I even teach this topic? What is there to say about saying God's name in vain? And then tonight, I had the opposite problem of talking about Shabbos in one class. There's a lot of different ways to go with it. So what we're going to do tonight is go through the psukim in Parshat Yitro and see if we can understand just from the verses what the message is, okay? What the point of this mitzvah is and what it's trying to say. And we'll think we focus on that, we'll get a good picture of Shabbos, what it's about. And we'll go through a lot of the Rishonim, a lot of the commentaries to see kind of their perspective on this. And I think that's important as well. Okay, so let's read this inside. I'll read in Hebrew, and then someone can read in English for us. Zachor yom ha-shabbat lekadsho. Sheshet yamim tavod vasita kol melachtecha. B'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat l'adonai elohecha. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Ata avincha v'techa. Avdecha v'yamatzcha. V'emtecha v'gercha asher v'sharecha. Ki sheshet yamim asa adonai et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. Et ha-yam v'es kol asher bam. V'yanach b'yom ha-shvi'i al-kein barach adonai et yom ha-shabbat v'yikadshehu. Okay, so who wants to read in English? Someone? Norman?
Remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. 6 days shall you work and accomplish all your work. But the seventh day is Sabbath to Hashem, your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, your animal, and your convert within your gates. For in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore Hashem blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it.
Okay. So what are we told to do?
Remember.
We're told to remember it, to sanctify it, and not to do any work.
Okay, so the first thing we're told is remember. Right? Zachor yom ha-shabbat likad sho. So we're remembering this Shabbos day. Now it's interesting. Do you think this verse is in the proper place within this paragraph? Yeah. The first pasuk. Mm-hmm. You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. You might argue that when you're told to remember something, you should first know what it is. Okay?
Okay.
So maybe there should be some sort of explanation, meaning maybe you start off with Sheshet Yamim Tavav Zidikum Altacha, V'yom HaShvi Shabbat L'Hashem Agacha. Work 6 days, and the seventh day shall be your Shabbos, and then afterwards you say, remember that Shabbos. You have the commandment after the explanation.
But isn't the pattern of all of these, the commandment comes first and then the explanation, if there is one?
Okay.
Pattern?
Or is that the way it is with idol worship, lawyer?
You shall not recognize other gods in my presence. I am Hashem, your God, who, etc., etc.
Okay, so it's the heading. It's the thesis statement. Okay. All right, we'll see. There's one or two explanations given as to why it's in this order, but okay. As you were saying. Okay, so we're told to remember it and to sanctify it. Okay. So,
well,
yeah.
We're to remember it in order to sanctify it. Is what
okay, so by remembering it, we're able to sanctify it. Okay.
Which means remembering is sanctifying. The two go together somehow.
Right, the two go together somehow. Now, we don't know what remembering really means, and we don't really know what sanctifying really means. But we know that somehow they're connected. Okay. Next, we're told 6 days we shall work, and you should do all of your work. Okay? 6 days you should work and accomplish, that's the English, and you should do all of your work. Now, it's... Yeah.
I didn't mean to interject it.
No, please.
Break your thought. Is this also a commandment to work 6 days?
So that's a good question. Meaning, what's the purpose of this commandment? We know that the seventh day is supposed to be different.
Right.
So we're saying you only rest on the seventh if you work all six. Is there a commandment to work all 6 days? What's the purpose of this? So obviously this is connected somehow. So we had to see what the purpose of this pasuk is. And the language switches. This is this point, I believe, by the Kli Yakar. He says, first it's Sheshes Yamim Ta'avod. And then it says, Vasita Kol Melachtecha. Right? So it goes from avo to melachtecha could also say vasita kol avodatcha, right? Or should do all of, so it changes from work to work in English, you know, they translate them both as work, but we'll see there's a difference between the words avoda and malacha. Okay. Then v'yom ha'shvi shabbat l'Hashem elokecha, and then the seventh day it is Shabbos for Hashem. Lo ta'aseh kum lacha, you shouldn't do any work. You, your family, your slave, your eved. There's a word, you know, eved is slave, and from ta'avod is same root. V'yamadcha, your maidservant, and your animal, and the stranger in your gates. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. In 6 days God creates the world. V'et hayam, and also the sea. V'et kol sherbam, everything in it. V'yanach b'yom ha'shvi'i, and God rests on the seventh day. Hakein berach Hashem et yom ha'shvi'i v'yikashu, and therefore God blesses the seventh day, and it is sanctified. Right? And God sanctifies it. Okay, so we start off with a commandment for us to do something, and then interestingly, this is somehow related to God's actions, right? That's pretty rare, meaning we're not told to honor our mother and father because God honors us. I mean, I don't know, think of another, right? Don't steal because God doesn't steal. Don't murder because God doesn't murder, right? We're not told to do that, we're just told don't murder. Here we're told to keep Shabbos on the seventh day, because God, and here we see maybe a reason for the mention of the 6 days of work, is because God creates the world over the 6 days and then rests on the seventh. So maybe to be consistent on some level, the Torah is telling us that we should work 6 days and rest on the seventh. That's just as God did. Okay. Do we need this second part? The fact that God did this, is this relevant? You know, let's say he just told us, the seventh day we shall sanctify it, 6 days you can work, and the seventh day is Shabbos. But we don't get into creation. Would we have a problem with this?
Well, this provides the context. Tell us why.
Okay.
I mean, it's for a reason, not just because it was said so.
So somehow here, the reason is very intricately connected to the mitzvah, right? Because there are other mitzvah where we're not going to get nearly as specific an explanation.
The question is, if it wasn't there, would people draw the connection of this to the beginning of the Torah?
Maybe yes, maybe no. Probably they would, right? I mean, once when you go back to creation, and you know, it's made a big deal then that God doesn't create on the seventh day,
and he sanctifies it.
Right, so just right, and God sanctified V'yechal him et yom ha'shvi'i v'kedesh eto kivo shabbat mikol malto eshabra l'him la'aso. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he abstained from all his work which God created to make. So we already know that from the beginning of the Torah that this day is different. We don't have an obligation, we don't have a mitzvah here, we just have a reference to it, right? So it's almost like an allusion. We know something's going to happen later on, but right away we have at least some sort of mention that this day is different. It has some sort of purpose, but this is God's sanctification. We don't have any idea that we're supposed to do anything. For all we know,
right,
God sanctifies it for the seventh day, and all right, what does that have to do with me? So here we get the what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me? It means that you're going to also sanctify it. Okay. Which kind of begs the bigger question as to what's the purpose of God resting on the seventh day, right? I mean, God could just as easily have created the world in 6 days. So,
does God need rest?
Does God need rest? Right. Does God need rest? And then, even if God wants us to have a concept of Shabbos for a seventh day, it doesn't mean God has to rest on the seventh day. God could create the world in 6 days and just say to us, oh yeah, in the future, take the seventh day off, right? Or make that sanctify it for me. Why does God have to create a seventh day to do nothing just so that we can have Shabbos later on? You know what I'm saying?
Because the calendar wouldn't work out properly.
Yeah, but we can create the calendar. So God can say at Mount Sinai, you're going to have a 7-day week. Okay, well, 7-day week. What's the difference? I don't know.
Yeah,
6-day week, 7-day week, 8-day week, who cares?
That provides a much stronger authority. God rested on the seventh. That gives us a much stronger, you know, more compelling reason.
But let's say we didn't have another reason. Let's say God just says, hey, I want you to do this. I mean, then it's like the rest of the Torah. So God wants us to do this. No, but why couldn't Hashem say, I want a day for you to just focus on me, to focus on spirituality. So I want the seventh day of the week to be your God day. And you don't need, that's it. Who cares what I did, right? On the sixth day, we're not creating people. On the fifth day, we're not fishing. And the fourth day, we're not stargazing, right? It's only the seventh day that we care what God did that day.
Hey, what's good for God is good for us.
Right, but I'm saying the fifth day, God creates fish, and we're not fishing, right? The third day, God creates, you know, flowers and trees. We're not planting flowers and trees on the third day. Why not? Tuesday should be planting day, and Wednesday should be stargazing day. But it's not. It's only the seventh day that we care suddenly what God did on that day. It's interesting, right? Why don't the rest of the days of creation have the same consistency? So obviously, as I'm saying, it's a little bit strange. It's a little bit strange that God wouldn't need to create the seventh day to rest in order for us to have Shabbos. I mean, it's not necessary.
Is it possible that it's there because no one rested on no one got a day off, and this was a novel new concept, and therefore you need the commandment? In some way.
Right, but God's preempting it. I mean, preempting it all the way back in creation. Adam and Eve were just created, and boom, seventh day.
Well, does it have something to do with that, you know, like, well, because God created, 6 days he created, and not that we're like God, but we can create too, like
right.
Him. We can create things, we can reproduce, so just as God created for 6 days, we can create whatever we want for 6 days, but like him, we rest on the seventh.
Okay. Okay, so that's true. So we definitely have that syncing up. But if we didn't have the fact that God rests on the seventh day, and then God says, I want you to have a seventh day and rest on that day, would anybody have a complaint? Wait a second. Well, you didn't do that, right? I'm not going to do... You didn't do that, right?
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. Fine, people have plenty to complain about, especially the Jews, right? But I'm saying, it sounds absurd, right? Whoa, God, I'm not resting. You worked for 6 days, and you didn't rest. Now I'm supposed to rest? I mean, it sounds silly.
Things that we don't do or can't do.
Right, exactly. The whole argument doesn't make... I mean, it wouldn't even get off the ground. People wouldn't even think that way. So it's just... I'm saying it's just odd that it's almost like God needs this justification, or God... has a seventh day to create it, to sanctify it, just so that in the future we have a seventh day too. But it seems like an exercise in futility. That's what I'm saying. God could have just created the world in 6 days, stopped, and then when he gives us the Torah, says, okay, seventh day is... guys, you can go back, so maybe tells Avram, because, you know, the Jews of Mitzrayim, they kept Shabbos. Okay, so you can go back to Avram. You don't, you know, however far back you want to go. Hashem tells them to keep a seventh day. But God doesn't have to rest on the seventh day for us to have Shabbos. And yet it seems like it's some sort of quid pro quo. Ugh, I always miss that.
But perhaps it's because he sanctified the seventh day.
Okay.
And therefore, because he sanctified it, we have to do something different on the seventh day than such as remember and set in order to sanctify it.
Okay, so... What does God create? What does God sanctifying the seventh day do?
Makes it holy.
It makes it holy in and of itself. Okay, so the first thing that you know I say often is to get out of our heads is that it's not that God doesn't create on the seventh day. It's not that God rests on the seventh day. God sanctifies the seventh day. Right? God creates a day that's pure spirituality. If you want to look at it this way, Hashem creates the spiritual world on the seventh day. Okay? God spends 6 days creating the physical world, and the seventh day, Hashem builds up the spiritual world. So if that's the case, then it makes a little more sense. Meaning, God didn't create the world in 6 days. God created the world in 7 days. The seventh day is not just a day when God doesn't create. It's a day when God creates, just doesn't create in the physical world. And if we can't see that, If we look at Hashem create the physical world, we don't realize that there's a whole spiritual world out there that's not necessarily related to the physical world that Hashem creates, then we're missing a major point of creation. Okay, so that's number one. Is that's why the question should be a non-starter. Hashem didn't create the world. Hashem created the world in 7 days. And then number two, so like Norman's saying, we have here a day that is holy in and of itself. So we see that we have a responsibility to sanctify this day. We should remember it and we should sanctify it. But we're not creating the sanctification, right? The sanctification is created all on its own. As in contrast to when we talked about Rosh Chodesh and the sanctifying of the new moon, so then that's a later creation, right? There is no idea of the 15th day of Nisan being Pesach. We, you know, that has to be sanctified externally. Right? The Jewish people see the moon, they find out Rosh Chodesh is. 15 days later is Pesach. In and of itself, right? It can't create itself. Here, Shabbos is sanctified in and of itself. We don't have to do anything, right? It happens of itself. What we have to do is connect to it, but it's already there. Okay, so that's also an important part. So one of the reasons here why Hashem has to mention creation is because Hashem is telling us that this is already done for you. The sanctification is there. The spirituality of Shabbos is there. It's now going to be up to you. So you're not going to be sanctifying this, right? You're just going to be connecting to what's already there. Okay. Fine. Look at it like electricity, right? Like, you know, there's a difference between discovering and creating, right? So you know, Ben Franklin didn't, he didn't invent electricity, right? He discovered it, and that's what Shabbos is. We're not creating Shabbos; we're discovering it, and that's what we're commanded to do.
You can see that for everything. Then. Sorry, you can see that for everything. There's no such thing as creating and discovering.
There's no such thing as creating as discovery, meaning we can't create anything.
Well, we can create things.
Well, we can take things that don't already exist and to make them into new things. I mean, obviously, the potential is always there. And Hashem creates the potential for everything. But we can create things more than, you know, like fire. So you can create fire, right? There is no fire. Now there is a fire, right? The potential was there, but there was no fire before. I really created something new. Okay. All right. So let's start with the word Zachor. I've had some very interesting explanations for what this means. So, what does the word Zachor mean? Yeah. Zachor, what? To remember. What does it mean to remember Shabbos? What does it mean to remember Shabbos? That seems like a very it's not very romantic. It's not very active. It's not very create Shabbos, build Shabbos, make Shabbos, right?
It's that Shabbos is there and you should remember not to overlook it.
Okay, so maybe that's a reference to the fact that it's already there, right? So remember it, meaning it's there whether you do it or not. You're just discovering it. So remember it, right? It's there. Okay, so that's one good explanation why it says remember as opposed to create Shabbos, make Shabbos, even though in the modern vernacular will say make Shabbos, right? But you're not making Shabbos, you're remembering Shabbos. But no one talks that way. No one says, oh, I'm going to remember Shabbos this week, right? Like, it doesn't sound very
No, but remember and observe is almost synonymous.
Yes, but you can use remember in ways that don't connect to observe.
You can remember but not observe.
Right. Oh, you know, I'll remember my birthday. Okay, I remember, but I'm not going to do anything about it, right? You know, remember the Alamo. Okay, remember the Alamo. Like, I'm not going there. I've been to San Antonio. See the Alamo? You've seen the... Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to remember it all the time. Okay. So the Rashbam gives an interesting answer. So the Rashbam says that remember refers to the past, right? Whenever a person refers to remember, that means you're remembering something that's happened before. So he gives a number of different examples of that. You know, remember Pesach and remember... I think there's a number of different examples in the Torah where you're supposed to remember things. So what are we remembering? What in the past are we remembering on Shabbos? So it says remembering creation. Right? We're remembering creation. That's why the second half of the commandment is telling us that this is connected to the way God creates the world, because we're remembering creation on Shabbos. That's part of what Shabbos is remembering it. Now, that's the interesting question. He says, when you look at the second time that the Torah lays out the Ten Commandments in Parsha Vayechanan, on page 968, and we'll talk about this more a little bit later as well. So it says, the bottom of page 968, Shamur et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, that you should observe it. You should observe Shabbos. So why here is a observe, and there it says to remember? So he writes that they really are connected. That the real goal is to remember creation. But I'm sorry, another question. His question was here, we reference the creation of the world. But later on, and the second time he mentions it, it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Hashem, your God, has taken you out from there with a strong hand. But there's not a reference to the creation of the world, there's a reference to us being taken out of Egypt. Okay? So why do we have both of them? So the Rashbam writes, they're really connected, is that the creation of the world is ultimately what we're supposed to remember on Shabbos, but that happened so long ago, and it's so abstract, that we need... But that by realizing what happened on that we were miraculously taken out of Egypt, that helps us remember that God created the world, right? When God brings all those miracles in Egypt, He's trying to send the message: Hey, look at me, remember, I'm the God that created the world. I'm still here, right? It's really the same message. It all goes back to: Hey, who am I? I'm the God who creates the world. So He writes that really the same thing. The Kli Yakar has an interesting answer, and he tries to make a big deal out of all the differences. He lays out all the differences. I think it's like 11 or 12 the differences between how the Ten Commandments are laid out in Parsha Yitro, and then how they're laid out in the second time in Parsha Vayechanan. So he says the common theme is this. It's very interesting. So the common theme is the first time the Torah is given, the Ten Commandments are given, God presents it to all the nations of the world. Right? And the Jews are the only one who accept it. They all find something in there that they can't accept, and therefore they reject the Ten Commandments. So God presents it in a way that it will be applicable to everybody. Right? So He presents Shabbos as remembering the creation of the world, because that applies to everybody. He couldn't say that Shabbos represents being taken out of Egypt, because that wouldn't apply to the other nations. So why would they accept it? It didn't have to do with me. So God presents the first set, the first Ten Commandments, how it apply to everybody, and then after only the Jews accepted, the second commandments are more personalized for the Jewish people. That's the way he understands it. It's very interesting. And then he goes through each of the different differences in the Kli Yakar, the Maral's student. So it's very interesting. You can go through it inside, but he goes through each of these different reasons. I found it very interesting, an interesting theory. He said, you know, people give individual answers as to why the first set, it says this, and then the second set says something different. But he writes, but ultimately, it's not that satisfying, because there should be some sort of common theme. So that's his common theme. It's interesting. Something to read through. Okay. Now others, like the Orach Chaim, he gives a few interesting explanations why it says Zachor, why it says to remember. So Zachor can mean Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, means to remember not just on Shabbos, it's a reference to the entire week. That Shabbos is supposed to be something that's remembered. Right? Don't just keep Shabbos, remember it. When do you remember it? You remember something when it's not there. Right? If it's there, you don't need to remember it. So you don't really need to remember Shabbos on Shabbos as much as you have to do on Tuesday. So some explain that means that you have to prepare for Shabbos. Part of the mitzvah of Shabbos is preparation for Shabbos. That's, you know, that's how it's tied in. Or the holiness, the spirituality of Shabbos should be, you know, integrated into your week, things like that. And a lot of the Rishonim point out that that's why the Jewish days of the week, they're not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's Rishon LeShabbos, Sheni LeShabbos. It's always, you know, the first day to Shabbos, the second day to Shabbos. That's Shabbos is always referenced in the days of the week. Right? People have bumper stickers that say Shabbos is coming or I love Shabbos. You know, all those sorts of different things. Okay. Then the Or HaChaim gives a second answer. It's a very interesting answer. He says, maybe, what does it mean that we remember? What are we remembering? So it says, we're remembering that humanity was saved on Shabbos. How so? So he writes that Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, so they sin on Friday. They're created on the sixth day of creation, and they sin on the same day. All that happens all in one day, right? They're both created, the sin, the whole thing happens on one day. They're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, right? And then Shabbos comes. So he writes that it was the holiness of Shabbos that saved them, that kind of brought back their spirits, that allowed them to do tshuva. The first Shabbos was a day of reflection, a day of repentance, a day of tshuva, a day for them to kind of come to grips with what just happened to them. So he writes the zechur is remember that Shabbos has been our salvation, that humanity only exists because of the salvation of Shabbos. Interesting perspective. So that's what he writes. That's what it refers to. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, gives another answer. So he's talking about why do we have Zachor, why do we remember in the first set of the Ten Commandments and Shamor to observe in the second set. So he said that it's a difference in your perspective psychologically. So what's the difference between remembering and the Shemur is like to watch, to observe, to watch. So let's compare it to a relationship. Okay? So let's say you have a married man who sees an attractive woman. Okay? Does he remember not to give into temptation, or does he watch himself to avoid giving into temptation? How would you characterize it?
Shamor.
Right? So, this is what he writes. Says, it depends. Depends on how well his relationship is going. He says, if his relationship is going well, and if he's in love with his wife, and if they're not fighting, right? I'm kind of embellishing a little bit, but, you know. Right? He doesn't reference Tiger Woods. The Ramban does not reference that. So, if things are going very well, so then all he has to do is remember his wife and it's not that he's not attracted to her, but it's not hard for him to stay away because, you know, I'm not going to ruin that. You know, I'm perfectly happy as it is. Why would I pursue something else if I'm perfectly happy as I am, right? But when do you need Shamor? You need Shamor when something, right? When you have to force yourself not to do something, right? That's what he writes. When you have to force yourself not to do so, that's when you have to be. That's when you need to watch out. When you need to observe. So he says. So that's really the lower of the two possibilities. The lower level is Shamor. Is you're so driven, you're so drawn to do something that you have to pull yourself back. Okay, you need a watchman. You need a watchman. But Zachor is you do it naturally. You're not going to do something or do something. So he says the same thing when it comes to Shabbos, right? When it comes to Shabbos, there's two ways of looking at it. There's if you're able to see every week that Shabbos is a time for me to connect spiritually. It's you know all the positives of Shabbos. If you connect with that right away, then the other things don't bother you, right? It doesn't bother you that you can't build. It doesn't bother you that you can't use your cell phone. All of these things are just a natural progression of where you're already at. It's a natural flow of where you're from, so you're naturally not going to do the lotas says. You're naturally not going to do malach. You're not going to work. However, when Shabbos is a burden, when it's difficult, when you're not really connecting to it or understanding it, it becomes very hard. Now you have to do shamor. Now you have to really fight yourself. You know, you know, and convince yourself why you shouldn't do things that you're drawn to do. And that's what he writes. So that's why Zachor is in the first set of the commandments, and Shemor is in the second set. Because first we present the ideal way of doing Shabbos, Zachor. But we also have the Shemor, because we know that that's going to be needed as well. That's why he puts it. That's an interesting perspective. Okay. Let's see. So let's talk about the second line here. Shez yom mitayva v'sitakom melachtecha. 6 days you should work and do all of your malacha, do all of your work.
Isn't it shisha yamin? Is it sheishes yamin? Sheishes yamin?
I'm not so bothered by it. I don't know. Does someone comment on that?
I don't know. Sheishes is like six of.
Yeah, six of the days. You shall work, and on the seventh you shall rest.
Right. So Rashi gives a pretty, you know, basic explanation that what does it mean, do all your work in 6 days? So it means, Keshetavo Shabbos, Yebinecha Kiel Kom Lachta Suya, Shalot Tahar, Achar Malacha. So that's one type of explanation that's given. That's telling you that on Shabbos you should look at it like all your work is done. Meaning, you shouldn't not work, but have your mind constantly on your work, right? You really have to be able to pull away from it. Others say that it means that you should spend your week working so that you'll have finished everything up, so when Shabbos comes, it's not in your head anymore. Meaning, the way you remember Shabbos all week is by making sure you get your work done, so it's not in your head.
Jobs that can't be done in 6 days.
Okay, you're right, of course. But I'm saying, at least to not push things off so that that's going to be on your head as much as possible, obviously.
But then if you're a factory worker, the job is get a card. Whatever he does, he does. That's his work. Is that really done or not done after 6 days?
No, you're right. It doesn't apply to everyone. Look, if you're a wedding planner and all your wedding's on Sunday, so but still, if you've done the majority of your work and you're prepared, so you know you don't have to get back, you know, get on the computer the moment Shabbos ends because you got to maximize your time on Saturday night. So then your Shabbos will be much better off. Right, so that's kind of one flow of explanations, but I like what the Sfarno said. The Sfarno had an interesting answer. So he wrote, so for 6 days we're involved in exercises in futility. Let me find it inside here. So Sheizit Yom Tavo be Iske Chayisha Shehem Avodas Eved Bli Safik. Shirov in Yanam hu hayot mitzar adam al olam she'eno shelo. So what is work? Right? What does work in the physical world mean? It means that you're constantly going to be frustrated, okay? You're involved in things that you have very little control over, right? And no matter what job you're in, no one has full control over any circumstances. And a job means that something's always going to go wrong. You're going to work with someone who's going to let you down. There's going to be failures that you can't prevent and you couldn't have avoided and you couldn't have foreseen. And it's just a constant frustration, right? That work, by definition, is constant frustration. And Hashem builds the world in a way that the physical world is not meant to work fully, right? There's always going to be something that's wrong, right? There's no perfect anything, right? Be it an airplane or a car or an iPod or anything. I mean, work means you're always fixing things that are going wrong and making sure that they don't go wrong next time, but something always happens. So work is by definition going to be frustrating, okay? The economy goes bad, you know, the person next to you has a bad day, whatever it is, things are constantly happening. So the idea is that Shabbos is supposed to be the opposite of that, okay? And Hashem creates the world in a way that we can see that. Meaning, Hashem created the world in 6 days. Hashem created the physical world. And is the physical world perfect? Well, no, because things keep going wrong, right? So when we look at the physical world around us, we see, wow, God created the world in 6 days, and it's just a lot of service for Hashem. It's a lot of mess, right? Things go right, things go wrong, this happens, that happens. oh, you know, God creates people, they sin, they fight, they, right? It's constant service for Hashem, right? So the world is, you know, built in that way. So Shabbat is supposed to be a day devoid of that frustration, okay? When you cease being involved in the creation in the physical world, so then you're in a world that doesn't have frustration because there's nothing to frustrate, right? When you're purely in the world of the spiritual, when you're purely working on your relationship with Hashem, with God, you now don't have all of those things disappear. So Shabbat is supposed to be the contradistinction to that. So he writes, that's why it says that we work for 6 days, because Shabbos is supposed to be the opposite of that. And we need the counter effect to understand what Shabbos is. Shabbos isn't Shabbos without the work, without living in the world. Okay? And that's why it mirrors what God did, because God went through the same process. Hashem spent 6 days creating a physical world that always seems to be broken. And the seventh day, God just creates a spiritual world, stops creating the physical world, and that's the day that's perfect. Right? So that's the understanding. So that's the Sfora. I thought that was a very, very nice explanation. Questions, comments?
Well,
yeah.
Is it really perfect?
Is what perfect?
Seventh day.
Is it perfect? It allows you to connect to something that is perfect. Meaning, this God as Hashem as Hashem, there's no frustration, right? Hashem, in and of itself, is not frustrated. There is just God. So, now look, it's not easy, you know. Our relationship with Hashem is strained. We have questions. Things go wrong. We're disappointed in ourselves. It's hard to see God in this world. So you're right. I mean, it's not...
Question all the time.
Yeah. So for sure, 100%. It's not that the spiritual
things,
world is so simple.
Bad things happen on Shabbos, too.
What?
Bad things happen on Shabbos, too.
No, I know. I'm not saying that, look, the physical world doesn't cease to exist just because it's Shabbos, right? I mean, you know, there's a blackout and now your lights are off, you know. So
you're not supposed to have lights anyway.
What?
You're not supposed to have lights anyway.
Well, the lights are allowed to be on, right?
No,
I mean, you know, the heat in the shul goes off, stuff happens.
You can get run over by a car on your way to shul on Shabbos.
No, I know, but that's... I'm not saying that bad things cease to happen on Shabbos. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's a day where, if you look at work as being trying to fix things and trying to make the wrong right and trying to, but knowing that you can never truly fix it, it's kind of, you're always going to be frustrated. So the idea is that on Shabbos you're working on something that's not going to have the same level of frustration. That's not going to have the same. That has perfection at the end. Let's put it that way. The ultimate goal of perfection is possible. I mean, God is perfect. So therefore, we're trying to connect to something that is perfect. So at least there is that light at the end of the tunnel. The physical world will never be perfect.
It's almost if on Shabbat we're supposed to be leaving the physical world and entering the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we leave whatever's physical behind.
Right. I mean, we use the physical world on Shabbos, but yeah,
but our mind should be focused on the spiritual rather than on the physical.
Right. The ultimate goal is that we're focused more on the spiritual than the physical. Right. And that's right.
You can actually feel the transition, you know.
What do you mean, from Shabbos to? Well, that's what the Gemara refers to that as the...
You feel it on a physical level.
Well, that's the Gemara refers to that as the Neshama Yisera. That on Shabbos, a person gets a, quote-unquote, a second soul. Or a heightened sensitivity to spirituality. And when it leaves them... You know, I had a friend who was always depressed on Saturday night. Like, he would say, like, I don't know, I just... He lost his extra neshama, leaves after Shabbos, and, you know, he just feels down. He doesn't feel like the same. But I feel it, too. Actually, I feel it, too. And it's funny, because I'm not, like, a very, you know, Kabbalistic kind of guy. But I feel on Saturday night, I feel different. I don't know. I feel it different. So, that's the idea, is that Shabbos, it's supposed to be easier for you to connect.
Even this Saturday night before you watched the game?
I did, even for the Jets game this Saturday night, I did feel it. I did feel it. And even after they won, it still didn't do the same thing. Still wasn't the same. It's not the same.
That's why Malka Shabbos, you do something.
Right, well, that's right. That's what Malav Malka is supposed to do, and Havdalah too, the Besamim are supposed to be part of that as well.
But, yeah. You have some sweets, you play music.
Right, right. To not get depressed from the Neshama leaving you. Yeah.
It just keeps it way calm.
Okay. So I also saw an interesting explanation that the word avoda, which says sheshes yamim ta'avod, for 6 days we're supposed to work. So the word avoda, you know, eved is, you know, there's slavery, and avoda typically means that you're bound to somebody else. Okay, and the truth is, for most people's working life, that's a part of their experience, is that they're answering to someone, they're bound to someone. Right, there's an aspect of what they're doing that's that they don't have control over. So here you have this idea of slavery, right? So there's two ways this is interpreted. One is it's interpreted as the way I was saying, that the frustration of the physical world is that you're beaten down, you don't have a lot of control, and so therefore you feel like you're enslaved, and that's what on Shabbos we're freed from that. The other side is that no, it's referring to our being evidence to Hashem, that we're slaves to Hashem. Avoda is used as a term for davening, for the Shemona Esrei, for prayer. So that's also seen as that, no, that is sheshet yamim ta'avod, that Shabbos, don't think that Shabbos is your only spiritual outlet. It's a seven-day experience that we're connecting with Hashem. Shabbos is more special, but 6 days you should also be connecting with Hashem. You should be working. You should be realizing you're an Eved to Hashem as well. So interesting, the same term Eved is used in opposite ways in different commentaries. Also the Kli Yakar writes, he takes the word, so the seventh day is in Hebrew is Sheva, right? The Hebrew word for vow is Shavua, right? It's the same root, Shin, Bet, and Ayin. So he says that they're connected, that the seventh day is supposed to be the ultimate sign of a commitment. That's your ultimate vow. That by connecting on the seventh day, that we take the seventh day as a commitment, that is our demonstration to our Shem, and that's, Shabbos works when you're committed to it. It doesn't work if you do it halfway. You have to be committed to it. So that's the idea, is that we're they're committed on the seventh day. One last thing is why is this the fourth commandment? So I saw also the thing is the Kli Yakar says that, you know, we're progressing. We started off with the first commandment of being belief in God, the belief that God exists. So once you believe that God exists, then naturally you don't believe in other gods, and therefore you don't have idol worship. And then taking God's name in vain is not only realizing that God exists, but showing respect for Hashem and not disrespecting Hashem. And then this is the fourth commandment is, okay, now that we know that God exists and we believe that God exists, but now that has to lead to something, has to lead to us building a relationship with Hashem, has to lead to us and how we behave. So Shabbos is the day that we build our relationship with God, that we build our relationship with Hashem. So it's not enough to just believe in God and not worship idols and don't say God's name in vain. There has to be something happening, right? You know, we don't want a loveless marriage, right? Yes, I admit that I'm married to you. Yes, I'm not married to anyone else. Yes, I won't speak badly about you. That doesn't make a happy marriage, right? That's those are the baselines, but then there has to be something, right? There has to be something there to keep this thing going and to make it improve. So that's why we need Shabbos to allow us to do that. So that's the purpose of Shabbos as well. To write in the Aseret Dibro, that's the next step, is to build on it. All right, so a few different perspectives here. So next week we will be discussing, move back to Wednesday night next week. So next week we'll be discussing Kibud Av V'Em, honoring one's parents. It's a very curious placement. The fifth commandment is right after Shabbos. Suddenly we go into honoring your parents. And then from that we go into murder, theft, and all those other good things. Okay, we'll pick up from here next week.